heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor. Honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
Of a nation.
Of a nation.
Of a nation.
And now, Malcolm.
Everything we are seeing now in our beloved republic, I believe, comes back to the point of power. I believe it all comes to power. The power that people possessed at any cost, at any level, even if they have to take the nation down in the way that we see the nation to, as they say, transform the United States of America. We've heard that transformative word before by number 44, Barack Obama. We also hear it coming from Joe Biden now here in the 2020 election, which, make no mistake about it, makes this election a pivotal election as well as any is, but this one certainly is when you hear Biden using the words transformative. And also knowing that he will be a puppet in there for whoever the Marxists are behind him. It's a big statement, but it also should leave everybody petrified or terrorized of what this nation will look like just after the election if they were to gain control. There was always a plan here. Remember in 2016, they were very convinced they were going to win that election. I mean, they were really convinced, people. Every poll told them that. All of their data and all the things told them they were going to be victorious, that Hillary Clinton would indeed be the next president. I mean, you know that. You've seen the looks and the shocks of their face and how aghast they were, and the mouths opened and the people crying. And you remember that scene there on election night and the days thereafter, right? If their plans were to seek that power again, to take that election by hook or by crook, keep in mind, right? Because they never really got over the Gore and Bush episode. And that's really when the media aligned with the Democrat Socialist Party there is with Gore and Bush. They were so put out with the fact that, hey, you know, they lost and that election was stolen from them, they thought, right? With the Supreme Court, remember, with the hanging chads and all that. And that's really when you've seen the unification of the media and the Socialist Democrat Party become one. And now, friends, as you bring it forward to what we're talking about today, when you see the violence across our nation and you see all of this uprising and these terrorist groups that you're hearing so much about, the Antifa folks and the Black Lives Matter folks. And of course, what they're always good at doing on the far left is they're always able to, you know, the bait and switch game, tell you this, and it's exactly the opposite of what they're doing. And you need to be aware of that on every level for sure. But here's what I want to share with you right now. The election strategy of the Democrat Party. And they are a Marxist group, make no mistake about it. This is not the Democrat Party you remember when you were a kid. That's long gone and buried and dead, people. So when the Socialist Democrats were defeated in 2016 and Donald Trump became the president, what happened right from that moment, people, is that they had to go back to the drawing board, the Democrats did, and figure out, okay, and we're talking all of them. He's at the head of the table, but you've got Brennan, Clapper, Comey, you've got all of those cats, and there's a whole bunch of them that are part of that group, and it gets into the others, the puppets, the Susan Rices, all of these kinds of people are all there as well, the operatives, you know. And so what's happened now with Donald Trump having the success that he was happening prior to this scam COVID project that became another apparatus to pull the country down, they had to find another way and another means to tear the nation down and really to seek their power at the cost of the nation coming down. And they really weren't concerned with the details of how they got there, but it really was to create anarchy and create fear in our electorate, which is what you're seeing right now play out. That's what's happening right now on the ground in our nation. I mean, you're seeing, and people are, they're scared. I mean, families are scared, and they're really not sure what this America looks like. But what's happening now is the media apparatus and the Socialist Democrats, they've aligned now to try to pin all of this on number 45, on President Trump, like this was his fault. The COVID pandemic was his fault, wasn't China. And the growth of all of these terrorist organizations and the disruption of our cities and states, well, they're all Donald Trump's fault. And you're only seeing the tip of that iceberg. That's going to get real ugly between now and November. I can guarantee you that. It's going to be a fist of cuffs if you ever saw one. This will be the ugliest election we've ever seen. This one coming up right next. The ugliest we'll ever see. At least from what I see right now with all the evidence on the table, people. That's really what we're looking at. So now the Democrats have seized the moment and they are partnered with, and it really is their secret battlefield strategy, is all these insurgent groups. And there's a history behind this, people. There's a massive history that we're going to unwind and unweave for you over the next couple of days here and really peel this onion so you understand what the stakes are. And I think this is about as important of a talk when it comes to this election as we could probably have. So I suggest you pay attention to all of it. And I want to bring on Colonel Jim Warshak to help me peel this one for sure. Colonel Warshak is retired from United States Air Force. He's a career senior intelligence and special missions officer, former deputy director of intelligence at U.S. Central Command. Served on the White House National Security Council staff. He outlines what we're going to talk about next, people, in a brilliant op-ed that's called The Democrats' Secret Battlefield, Trained Insurgents. From an election strategic standpoint of what we're seeing right now, I don't think a lot of people understand that the Democrats are really behind this. How do we convince them, Jim, how do we convince America? I mean, what's the real message for them to understand that they are truly behind this, these movements and these insurgent groups that are taking down our cities and states? How do we convince them?
Well, I think we have to really go back and look at several different indications of what's going on first. And we've talked about this on America Out Loud a number of times, as you have with others, is what happened after Donald Trump was elected. And we saw what happened. We saw the beginning of the Russia collusion investigation by Adam Schiff and company. And then we watched the Mueller investigation go on for 2.5 years, and that didn't work. And then we watched the impeachment process go on for another, 8 or 9 months, and that didn't work. And each time they were ratcheting up the effort to try to take down Donald Trump, none of which worked. Then in December, we started seeing the indications of the China Wuhan virus, and we've talked about that and how that played out for the next 3 or 4 months. And then things started to turn around in April and the economy started coming back, indicators were high, and something else had to happen. And they had to ratchet up the effort in the final, run towards the November election. And we're seeing this anarchy-driven, violent, radical, extremist activity going on, not just in one or two cities, and certainly not the result of George Floyd. That may be an impetus and a justification for it, but this had been planned long ago, that if things got to the point where it looked like Donald Trump was going to be the hands-down winner again in 2020, they were going to have to pull all the chocks out, so to speak, and go full bore till November and do something. And I think that's what we're seeing here. And I go back to this because who are the antagonists and who are the people doing this behind the scenes? And we see, I don't talk too much about Black Lives Matter, but I focus in this respect heavily on Antifa. Antifa has been around for a long time, and you can go read a little bit about it. But Antifa in America really took form around 2012, at least actions of them. And that's what this is all about, how the Obama administration, from everything I've seen and all the research I've done, utilized them as a potential backdrop, whether Hillary Clinton won in November 16, where they might need to use them to, put fear in people to orchestrate whatever a Hillary Clinton government was going to do, or to utilize them now, as we're seeing, as a method of creating anarchy and fear, and that's what's playing out now.
Let's stay on Obama initially here, Jim. And let me ask you, what do you think? What should people know that Barack Obama's goal? What was his ultimate goal here? I'm speaking about now through his administration, and I want to get into some details there about him using the apparatus of government. This is while he was president now of the United States here. But what do you think at that point his ultimate goal of this thing was?
Well, you know, when you look at the political left and you look at the violent side of, you know, Marxist-Leninist insurgency, you need a capability to be out there to do things to create a militancy situation. And certainly the Obama administration, looking at how things were going, again, how things went in November, they were going to need to have a capability that on call could be brought up and put into play to do whatever it was. And, you know, violence, radicalism, puts fear in people, and it causes people to question the ability of government to protect them, which is, under the Constitution, the first and foremost responsibility of government is to provide safety, security, protection for the people, for Americans. And you know, Trump talks about that a lot. And so when you create a situation where it looks like he doesn't have control, it creates doubt. And as we've seen play out, this is really it's in the back of the minds of people now. And it's part of the psychological process to cause people to start to question or say, what are you doing? Why aren't you doing this? What's going on? And the Democrats have been playing this, you know, at least since probably the George Floyd situation. Of course, I think there were opportunities where they may have wanted to have it play out sooner. But this is their, no pun intended, their Trump card, with, you know, 4 months before the election, 5 months before the election to play this. And that's what we're seeing. But they needed a capability, and that capability is Antifa. And where I'm going with this is we've seen Antifa be utilized. They needed, they're not the crybaby in your parents' basement, characters that we see play out a lot in media and in social media and stuff. Some of them certainly are, but a lot of them have been trained, and they were trained in the Syrian civil war starting in 2012. And so you have to bring into question, how did they get there? Who organized them? You know, being a military person, we have what are called pipelines. We utilize trained insurgent forces in many wars as a force multiplier for our special operations forces, and we've seen this play out over the years. But you need a pipeline to push these people through, get them in there, get them trained, get them organized. You just don't throw them into the battlefield, and that seems to have occurred via the CIA during John Brennan's direction at CIA. And you know, there's been indications, and Flynn and company have come out and said that John Brennan had a $2 billion, I'll call it a slush fund, or basically $2 billion that was off the books, where it couldn't be audited, it couldn't be looked at, nobody knew anything about it. We know where some of that money was going. It was to fund weapons transfers from Libya, and that's the whole Benghazi story. But there's portions of that funding that went to help organize bringing American insurgents into Syria to get, you know, combat experience, so that they can come back to America and and have some type of training and organization where they know how to do this.
Was this all part of his promise in this transformative attitude of wanting to transform the United States of America? This is what we're talking about here, right?
Absolutely, Malcolm. You know, from day one, when I first heard Barack Obama talk about transformation, I knew that was not a good word. And I had done my homework already on Obama and knew all his associations with Alinsky and what have you. And I knew what that meant, that this was to move the America to the far political left.
Well, let me go further now. Let me go further. Now, let's take Joe Biden, for instance, now. Joe Biden has started to use that word. I don't think, my guess is now, Jim, and you tell me, I don't think Joe Biden is using that word on his own. He was given that word to use specifically. Is that correct?
I can assure you, Joe Biden is not writing any of his speeches or any of his talking points. He is being handed that, and he is he's acquiescent to whatever his political masters want him to say, pretty much in the same way Obama did. Obama was a little bit more astute at what he was doing ideologically, but Biden will bend in any direction they want. If you go look at Biden's stances on national security and foreign policy and even domestic policy over the years, you know, he's a talking head. He gets used by whether it's the lobbyist when he was in Congress or the special interest or as a vice president to Barack Obama, whatever Barack Obama wanted, Biden did. And I will tell you this, I'll use this opportunity. Biden was the true reason that our ISIS came to fruition in Iraq, because Obama handed that policy over to Biden to watch over, and that's what happened.
Yeah, and they created the caliphate and the mess out there that President Trump had to clean up in our military more so. This transformative future that Barack Obama was trying to create now, and that Biden is now using the words for to continue that legacy, a lot of people don't understand what that really means or where it's coming from. How do we describe in just plain English, Jim, what kind of an America do you believe the America that Barack Obama was envisioning? What does that look like in a sentence or two?
Well, it's an extreme far left socialist type government with the intention that most people would go along. And I think I continue to, you know, to watch with how people were so easily led to follow whatever what they were told to do with regard to the virus. You know, there's a lot of hidden things in how the virus was played out, in how you had to do social distancing, and how you had to do, you know, how you had to wear the masks and when and where. And it's a huge debate that's still going on. But most people acquiesced and went along with it because they were told that's what to do. Believe me, the leftists in America, the Democrats, whoever you want to call them, who are behind all this, are watching and studying that closely, how easily it is to cause Americans to go along with whatever you say. And I mean, I've seen Republicans, being a Republican who are steadfast on, oh, I've got to wear my mask and I've got to do social distancing, and how dare the president do this? He's endangering people. You know, that's what the Democrats want to see. They want to see how many people will go along with whatever the government says. And some of the blame that's being put on Trump is he is the government. He is leading the government, even though none of this was his idea, obviously. It was by someone else. And how easily he had to straddle the fence, so to speak, on how far he could go or how far he could push back. And, you know, they've created a really precarious situation for him. I think overall he's doing pretty good, but it's really worked against him from the standpoint of what Americans believe. So there's a lot of psychology being examined and researched as a result of this virus thing. And I think a lot of that is being played out. And when you start looking at who Antifa is and, you know, who Black Lives Matter really is, they have played that out. It's messaging, it's strategic messaging that I think the Republicans are losing on right now. It's real tough, especially when the mainstream media is leading the charge on it and it's being pounded into Americans' heads 24/7. And, you know, the things where we're seeing with revisionist history and cancel culture is really having an impact. All that is psychology. How quickly we've changed from 5 months ago. Think of January 1st, you know, 6 months ago, where we were. We weren't anywhere near any of this and how quickly that all changed.
Yeah. You see, what happens is they create this new normal. That is the new normal. You remember they were talking about those words, the new normal, like people walking around with all their face mask on and would begin to look like Sharia law just had been taken over. And you know, a lot of people look at this and they you know, they shrug their shoulders like, oh, come on, Ma, you know, come on now. What are you talking about here? It's a fool's game, really, isn't it now, you know? And this whole COVID thing that Colonel Warshak talks about there and how they pulled it off has been masterful on their end, not so much for free people, free loving, we the people who don't want to succumb to this. We don't want to be the sheeple, do we now, you know? And so that's where you've got this struggle now and why the mask has become, as you know, very political, very polarizing, wearing the mask thing. And it really is truly disgusting, the whole thing. And, you know, you begin to question this whole program now. Why did, and some people are asking, as Jim was just saying, why did the president go along with this? Why couldn't he not have put his foot down and, you know, really fought against the lockdown, you know, all of that that happened? I mean, think about it, right? I mean, you have to begin to question all that, people. And that really is the struggle we're dealing with here, you know, in all of this. So I think the secret weapon, the battlefield weapon we're talking about here is being right out there in the full light of day. But here's what I'm wondering now that we need to go with Colonel Warshak. There's a lot of nitty gritty I want to dive into here. One of the points is we know where Barack Obama was in all this and his transformative vision for the United States was not the transformative vision of what the framers envisioned this country to be and what we have successfully have built for 244 years, which is why you see this rift in our nation where people are, it's enemies. It's where the evil come out in people. You can see the, you know, how they become vicious and evil, and there are camps here, in other words, they're in different camps, and that's why people can't talk even amongst their families anymore and friends. And you either you like this new program or you don't, or you're becoming part of the sheeple group, I guess is what I'm suggesting, you know. But what I'm wondering is a couple of things with this whole transformative narrative that you're seeing now play out. How many of these other people around Trump really understood what Barack Obama was up to? That's what I'm wondering here. I mean, do they really know how Barack Obama wanted to transform this country? Did they truly understand that? I wonder, because it will, then you can connect the dots and see, or were they just going along to get along, or really felt that he was the hope and change president and was going to make our country that much better? I do wonder that, because a lot of these people, they're guilty for a lot of reasons. And again, it comes back to what we've been talking about with Jim right along and others here. Will there be indictments? And what happens when John Durham falls? And that's supposed to happen between now and November somewhere, right? Unless, God forbid, they push that off until after the election. Again, that would become another point of warfare, wouldn't it? Very strategic when that report drops. And again, are they taking the extra time now to soften that, or to, you know, they're very good at covering shit up there, you know, and these reports come down and then they're loosey goosey and they're covered up and, you know, I don't know, becomes a snowflake operation, really. But, you know, we got to question all this. We'll take a quick pause, friends. Be back with Colonel Jim Warshak on The Voice of a Nation in just a moment.
The silent majority has spoken. We say, let the silent voices be heard. You can be the voice of change. Contact our producer at liberty@americaoutloud.com. Liberty@americaoutloud.com. www.thebelovedrepublic.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
AmericaOutLoud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. As we celebrate our four-year anniversary, thank you for making it all possible. Well, shouldn't news deliver truth and inspire us to reach higher? With blogs, podcasts, video, and 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
And now you're seeing, you know, this is the real test of time now, as we're going to be struggling as we get through these next 5 months. It's hard to put this all into context, really, for any of us, for you or I, to know that we've just come through a massive pandemic and still going through it, and they're still using it for political reasons. And now you see these groups that are trying to tear down our nation, our cities and states, which, by the way, we're going to be focusing on just ahead in a special series about America's cities, because I've been all over this for years now. And I think the Socialist Democrats have really destroyed our cities and our states. And a lot of these local people you're electing to office, and mayor and governor and your city and county council people, are destroying our beloved country. And that's something you're going to have to come to grasp with, people. Now, you keep electing these clowns to those local offices, and you're going to pay a hell of a price, and your quality of life is going to be decimated. And again, you can't make America great, and you can't have a great America, and there is no great republic if you don't have great America cities and states. So the question you got to ask yourself today, are you happy? Are you happy with the way our cities and states are being run and operated and the progress they've made? Are you happy? What do you think the left would answer that with? Are they happy? Can you tell me the left in New York and Los Angeles and Chicago and Seattle and Portland, and can you tell me they're happy? Let them answer that damn question first. Are they happy with the quality of life and the way? And if not, suck it up, buttercup, or deal with it, or let's do something about it. You know, that's what I'm talking about here. Bring it back to the point of what really matters here. And that's what has got to happen at this point to really turn this thing around, because we're headed the wrong direction here. These cast of characters, I say Susan Rice moments ago, but we're also talking Brennan, Clapper, Comey. There's so many of them around that administration that were part of his cabinet, and other people within that whole Obama White House. Do you think, I'm not thinking these people really knew what he meant. I mean, let me put my thought, and then you counteract me and tell me if I'm right or wrong. My guess is Barack Obama is a hell of a salesman. He sold his hope and change to a nation that they thought his progressive politics would mean a better future. And they were sold, they were sold a bag of goods that was nothing. But I think the people around him, I think the vast majority of them also were trickeried into thinking this new vision. I'm not thinking they all knew what transformative went, what it meant, and that he was really talking about a Marxist future. Can you debate or argue that back with me?
Well, that's a great point, Malcolm. You have to look at who who the people were who did know. And certainly the people who, you know, Obama surrounded himself with in his inner circle, not his cabinet, not necessarily his full White House staff, but his inner circle. You know, we all know who they are. And some of the inner circle were cabinet members like, Comey and Brennan and Clapper, perhaps to some degree, Hillary Clinton. You know, I think she was utilized in a number of different ways, because of who she was. You know, John Podesta, you can Susan Rice by all means. I've knew Susan Rice going back to the early 90s, when she first came on board. In
you
the
think
Clinton
she knew she knew what he was up to? What,
oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And of course, we know Valerie Jarrett. She's a key player. We knew Valerie Jarrett.
Of course, Valerie Jarrett knew everything. And Valerie Jarrett was probably one of the biggest, you know, key drivers behind a lot of what Obama was doing from standpoint of policy. She had a hand in pretty much everything. But yes, a number of them knew it, you know, Cass Sunstein and, you know, his wife. These were the real centralized characters. They're all leftists. They're all far leftists. They all understood this. They are all, you know, Alinskyites and believers of Marxist ideology. So they were the key people. Some of the other people, you know, even Joe Biden, as I mentioned earlier, you know, Joe Biden was brought in because he wanted to be so much part of anything, and he wanted to be that. And of course, we're watching him supposedly want to be president. I don't even think he knows if that's what he really wants. He's a person who will go along and provide the words that are necessary, even though he stumbles all over that. Yeah. But you know, he's a tool. He's being used.
He's an empty suit is what he is. He's an empty suit, and he doesn't stand for anything. It's hard to, Jim, to have credibility when you don't stand for anything. Like you say, he just kind of blows in the political wind, whatever the hell way it's blown on any given morning. But you believe as a whole that there's a good amount of those people around Obama in his cabinet that were indeed familiar, aware, and on board to change America into a Marxist nation.
Yeah, of course. And you can go across to the Capitol Hill, and there's a number of them over there. And, you know, we've talked about them, and you've talked about them. And, America Out Loud has covered them pretty extensively over the years. They're all waiting in the wings. All these players that were surrounded Obama, if Biden, God help us, were to win, they would all be back, and they would be the ones
running
the show.
There's no doubt there. There's no doubt there. But as many that you believe are knowledgeable and supportive of that, could we say that there may be as equally as many others around him that really weren't aware of that transformative Marxist agenda? That, in other words, they were being vacuumed into this whole movement, but they really didn't understand. Is that wrong or is that right?
Well, they were all part of an effort. You know, there, some of them you provide. You know, we're bringing you on because we just need you the face of legitimacy. You're going to run this cabinet department. You're going to have this role. That by all means occurred, and there's an equal number of them, probably even more. But they knew, you know, where the buck stopped and where the power was, and basically went along to be able to hold the positions they had.
But some of them thought they were doing. Some of them didn't realize what Obama's grand plans were. Right? I mean, some of them.
Oh, of course. Course.
I mean, I have a hard time believing. The reason I go down this line here, I have to tell you, Jim, I have a hard time believing that any God-loving American would be on board with his agenda. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, his agenda is everything we've fought against prior to him coming on board was really what America was about. And, you know, technically we still are based on the Constitution and totally disavows anything that Obama represents.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, that's why I have a hard time understanding. And again, I know Obama was really a hell of a salesman, a snake oil salesman for sure. But it's hard to. All right, let's dive into now. When we talk about current day Antifa and Black Lives Matter and these groups here that you outlined really well, these trained insurgents here. Now it's time that we educate people, Jim. We don't just talk off the cuff about our grand strategy and theories here. I want to dive now into some things with you. And let's educate folks back in the Obama administration, please, regarding Syria and the YPG, who the YPG is and how they were utilized and how government money, how our money, how our tax money was utilized in partnership with these people that are really part of the people we're battling now. Let's connect the dots.
Okay, well, let's go back to the start of the Syrian civil war, where we had Bashar Assad, who was the president of that country. And there was some people who didn't like the way he was doing things, and I don't want to get into the whole history of that. But there was a battle, you know, people took up sides. A lot of it had to do with Iran. Iran used Assad as for leverage against Israel, being on the border with Israel, the Golan Heights. And Assad, you know, did what he had to do, but there were those in Iran who didn't necessarily think he was doing enough. And so this internally became a struggle. And, you know, Hezbollah was the armed insurgency terrorist group, you know, mainly housed out of Syria and Lebanon, backed by 100% by Iran. And that group was led by a guy by the name of Nasrallah. And Iran had plans to actually insert Nasrallah in as head of Syria so that they could get, you know, full cooperation of him, and they had to get rid of Assad. And so there were things that played out where the civil war started, and to you know, go forward relatively quickly, by about 2012-13, the war ratcheted up, and we've all watched, you know, the news of the Syrian civil war over the years, 32 different groups fighting against each other, which included obviously the Syrian government. Then there were groups that came to the aid of the Syrian government, who formed different insurgent groups. Then there was, the Kurds, which were represented by, the YPG, which is the Kurdish People's Protection Units, and the Kurdish Workers Party, the PKK, who were enemies of Syria, who were enemies of Turkey, and they happened to be selected by the U.S. State Department, read that as Hillary Clinton, as the group that the U.S. was going to support in the war against the Assad government in the Syrian civil war.
Yeah, they were put out as our friends, our allies, the YPG.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
They were fighting overtly against ISIS, who has now come into the picture. Remember, as ISIS formed up after Al-Qaeda was removed from Iraq and Syria, and then when we started to pull our forces out of Iraq under Obama, ISIS emerged and became the insurgent terrorist group in the region. There were groups battling ISIS inside Syria, one of which was the YPG. And so the State Department, who went to CIA and went obviously to the Obama government and said, here's the group we need to pick. And we sent U.S. Special Operations, U.S. Special Forces to train them to do this. And our special forces went in there first, and they basically reported back, wait a minute, why are we supporting this group? This is not the group we want. These guys are Marxists. These guys are avowed Marxists. Why are we supporting them? The U.S. government, the U.S. military should not be supporting them. And, of course, they were told to do otherwise and train them, because that's the decision has been made by the State Department and the Obama administration to back them.
When did that happen, Jim? When did that happen?
That happened back around 2012-13, early 14. I mean, there was a lot of back and forth going on whether we should support them, but it was pretty much a done deal probably by mid-2013. And we started training them, and you know, you can get into the details of that where our
now when Trump took over now, that changed.
Yes, as we recall, about a year ago, as we were pulling out of Syria, the uproar was we were abandoning the Kurds. Everybody remembers that. That was all over the news for several months. Well, the reason Trump abandoned them, he looked at it as, why should we have our American troops die for these guys? Granted, we were with them, but they're Marxists. We don't have anything in common with them. The real Kurds that we supported are the Kurds, the Iraqi Kurds, who were extremely phenomenal allies to us during, you know, the war in Iraq. But this is a different group because there are different factions of Kurds all around the Middle East, between Turkey and Syria and Iraq and Iran and Armenia, which is really the Kurdistan region. But they're different factions, and different factions have different beliefs. These are Marxist believing ones, and we didn't want anything to do with them. But they were being funded by the State Department.
Exactly.
They were given aid. This was, as we mentioned earlier, part of the weapons transfer from Libya to Syria. This was what transpired, where we ended up having Benghazi. You know, all that was meant to cover up and hide this effort. Well, they were also receiving funds for training. And in 2012, we started to see Americans going into Syria, not part of the U.S. military, but part of a civilian groups. And there was, you know, this was happening from all over, at least Europe as well. There were massive influxes of foreign fighters joining different groups. Remember, I mentioned there were 32 insurgent groups inside Syria, but they were fighters. Go. This is what mercenaries do, and what troops do who are no longer serving in uniform. They have this feel for battle, and they want to get involved. And this happens all around the world. You'll always have groups. Well, there was a massive influx starting in 2012 of foreign fighters from various countries, to include America. And they were going in, and a pipeline was created. And from what we can see, is this was done by the CIA under John Brennan, where, okay, someone signs up in America and wants to go fight and train in Syria. You know, they're given an airline ticket, they fly to Turkey or Syria, and they go in and they link up with a handler, and they go to a facility to train and get fitted and get eventually into battle. That was going on. Well, Antifa, both from America and from Germany and Belgium and a few other countries in Europe, were sending fighters, so to speak, to get combat trained experience so that they could go back to their country of origin and start cells, and they have combat experience, and in Syria was pretty hardcore combat experience. That was known by the Obama administration, and certainly part of the effort that those of us who were following it really closely was what John Brennan was involved in, all part of the bigger scheme with supporting that effort in Syria. And of course, the real strategy behind us even being involved in Syria, you know, as I said earlier, the cover story was to fight ISIS, but the real effort was to get rid of Assad. You can remember Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama were going around the region doing regime change. We got rid of Mubarak. We got rid of Gaddafi. We got rid of the president of Tunisia. We got rid of the president of Yemen. And Bashar al-Assad was always a target of the Obama administration because they were working with Iran, and they were wanting to put someone more supportive of Iran, even though Assad did what Iran wanted them. They wanted someone a little bit more hardcore in there. And, You know, we know the Obama administration's relationship with Iran and the Iran nuclear deal. This is all connected. This is all about power broking in the Middle East.
Yeah, and it was all part of that Arab Spring, you remember, Jim, where they were bringing in a whole new thing. But they could never get Bashar al-Assad out of there, the Syrian president. And he's still there today, by the way. He is still in command there. And, of course, Russia, he has been supporting the puppet of Russia. Jim, an important point I want to make. So our State Department and our government is funding all of this happening here in the what's going on with the YPG and the Syria, right? I mean, this is all happening with the YPG. We're funding all of this now, these Marxists. And as you say, what I'm wondering is, what was the real point at that point? I mean, obviously, Obama's in office. Things are pretty secure and tucked in. He's in the middle of his two-term administration. Because Mitt Romney was unsuccessful in taking him down. And so he won two terms, which was shocking to many Americans that this president who wanted to transform America into a Marxist country was allowed 8 years to do his damage. And that's part of what we're dealing with today. It's because of those eight horrible years in our history, sadly. When he was doing this and funding all of these Marxist operations out there, what was the goal? I mean, at that point, Obama was still in office. He assumed they would keep control. He put enough firebombs and hidden weapons in the federal government. In fact, he elected and nominated and put in place more Muslims in the federal government than we've ever had in our history, Jim. Barack Obama, I'm speaking about. That happened on his watch. You know that, right? I mean, there were Muslims in our positions of power than we've ever had. Valerie Jarrett herself was a Muslim and born in Iran and was his right hand. Now, I'm drawing out not a pretty picture for you, friends. And then this president or anti-president, if you will, wants to transform America. And you don't have to be a moron not to figure out what the hell he's doing at this point. But what I'm wondering is, what was the, for him to get, because right now what we're looking at is a lot of this YPG stuff and these Marxists out there in the Middle East, Jim. These became really, we want to make the connection to current day, what's happening here in America with the Antifa and Black Lives Matter. A lot of these people are trained insurgents. These are not just high school kids out for a good time on a Saturday night. And so did Obama know at that point what he was doing as far as that this would come in handy at some point here in America? Because let's remind people right now, this former president has an organization called OFA, or Organizing for America, and he's just down the road there up at the White House in Washington, D.C. And he's got a whole apparatus and movement with John Kerry and many others doing business throughout the Middle East and throughout the world. Do you think he realized at that point that he would need to have this Marxist group here fight in America itself, or did this happen after the fact?
No, I think this was all part of the plan because, you know, if you study leftist totalitarian regimes, they always have, you know, their thugs, their hardcore street fighters who can be, you know, given the signal to go out and do something. You know, this is, like I said, it doesn't matter whether it's Marxist or it's, I'll use the word Nazi. You know, we saw Hitler in prior to World War II had his brown shirts who were his thugs and his goon squads who would go out and firebomb churches and halls and burn books and do all that. This is the same thing. They have to change. You know, this is the latest term we've heard in the last few months, the cancel culture, where we've got to rewrite what America is all about. And this is what's going on. This is part of that fundamental change. You know, Obama couldn't get it done in his 8 years, and he figured everybody thought Hillary was going to win and it was going to get it done. And I guarantee Hillary Clinton would not have been the real president. Hillary Clinton would have just been the figurehead had she won. And this stuff would have been, she would have been told, you're just going to go along with this because this is what's going to happen. And thank God Trump won, but they don't give up. They don't say, we lost. We'll try again in 100 years or something like that. Yeah. They will continue. And I guarantee when Trump wins again in November, and I firmly believe he will because people are so fed up with this nonsense. But this isn't going to stop. Mm-hmm. They're going to be a thorn in his side going forward. And, you know, we're going to have to look at 2024 and who's going to be a strong candidate to continue on, because they are bent on this. And, you know, the Marxists and the left, time is always on their side. They don't say we have to get this done by this time or it's all over. They continue to march. They continue to do what they need to do. And because of the things Trump is doing, if you know, I tell people all the time, look at what he's accomplished in his 3.5 years. Can you imagine what he could have done if he had just the Republican Party totally on his side? Can you imagine what he could have done, you know, if we had the Democratic Party of maybe back in the 50s, where, you know, they were by and large patriotic Americans? None of this, you know, we were going through the Red Scare back then with Joe McCarthy and company. You know, how better off we would be despite everything that happened. And now we're dealing with the globalists, and we're dealing with Marxists, we're dealing with terrorists, we're dealing with Islam. There is so much that we as a nation and this president are going against. It just boggles your mind that we're able to stay afloat.
You know, as Colonel Warshak talks about the cancel culture, and you see the statues and the monuments that are coming down and people questioning the rule of law and the defunding of police departments and abolishing police departments and crime escalating in cities. And now you see this unrest. I mean, people begin to realize that this is not normal. It's certainly not our normal. Now, maybe it is what I've been saying to you, the new normal that they're trying to create. You know, when they started using those words with the whole COVID thing, you know, everybody started wondering and scratching their heads and asking me as well, you know, like, okay, what's this new normal thing? You know, you were hearing those words, and what was that going to be now? People being in lockdown mode, or people wearing masks all the time, or our cities burning in destruction and chaos? What's the new normal that we have to deal with? A new way of life somehow? And then you begin to tie this all together, and there's no conspiracy here, people. I mean, this is what's happening here. You just have to open your eyes. So here's the thing with Colonel Warshak. Now, he and I have been talking about this for some time. This talk today that we're having, I believe, is one of the most important talks, because if we don't start to connect the dots on all of this, if we don't start to really step back and measure out where we're at, and if we don't get out in front of this and warn the American people, well, then we're going to pay a price, a massive price. And it's unconscionable what's going to happen to our nation. You don't have to worry about future generations at that point, because the United States as we know it will no longer be. And that's not just words, people. You're seeing that already with your own eyes. You just need to wake up out of your comatose state and get your friends to do the same thing so they really understand what the hell is going on here. Now, there's a lot more we want to talk about with Colonel Warshak, and we're going to do that in part two of this conversation, which you will hear tomorrow night on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Now, that plays at 6 and 10 Eastern Time. And just do the math wherever your time zone is, but 6 and 10 Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio. You can listen on iHeartRadio. We have a terrific media player. Or you can listen on our apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. There are a million ways to listen to our network. Just find one that is comfortable for you. If you're listening to this on podcast, all of our shows go to podcast after the fact. Just a couple days later, you'll find them on podcast networks worldwide and on Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart, all of them. And you'll find it, as always, on the front page of AmericaOutLoud.com. So there's a lot more to talk about with Colonel Warshak, and let's lay it out here. We need to talk about the overall plan, what the overall arching plan is. We need to talk about this audit of the CIA that Brennan was involved in, and Flynn was pushing to get that audit done. And we're talking a couple of billion dollars here, people, at least minimum, that were being used for covert operations and all kinds of funny business. You've seen recently Sidney Powell brought that out and was talking about it. General Mike Flynn's attorney, in fact. as to, you know, they want to audit that the CIA for keeping that $2 billion off the books. We've all heard that expression before, off the books, right? You know, a lot of people believe that had a lot to do with, funding some of these groups that we're talking about today that are causing this unrest in our country, you know. And then what about Trump and the Justice Department? What about AG Barr and President Trump? Where are they on all this? How much do they know? How does it feed into the John Durham report? And what does the report accomplish? Does it lay out the players as we need them to be laid out? Does it indict the proper people, or at least get that ball started, right? All of that's got to be discussed and talked about. And how do we bring that forward? I mean, you're hearing the talk now, as Colonel Warshak was talking about, that President Trump is close to, we believe, designating this Antifa a terrorist group, a domestic terrorist group. And that would change the rules for a lot of reasons. And there are people who know that, and world leaders who believe and know that the president should be doing that. They should be designated a terrorist group. It would change the rules a little bit to the game and allow us to get more of a handle on things. So as we connect the dots here, it is so important. We need to get this information out to the American people. I can't put this any other way to you. I mean, we go to a painstaking process to bring this talk forward, to bring this information, these data points, these dots, these historical dots we're connecting here. And we bring it forward, but we need to share this with millions and millions and millions of people. It's important. People have to begin to see what's really going on here. And we need to get that truth out there, people. God forbid. I mean, the out loud truth is so critical to our salvation and where we stand as a nation. So Colonel Warshak will be back with me tomorrow on this program again to complete the mission on this. This is an important talk, and one we have been discussing for some time. You will find the op-ed on America Out Loud, The Democrats' Secret Battlefield, Trained Insurgents. It is a moment of truth, people, for all of us. And regardless of all of this pandemic and COVID business, you can see all the pieces connect here somewhere. If you just step back and do the math, you'll find all roads lead to the conversation we're having with you today and what the master plan was. Now we need to be armed with information and knowledge so we can turn back the clock and fix some of this. Thank you for being with me, being part of the mission. Help us get the word out there to all Americans. It's time to get involved and get loud.